Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
I'm glad today to join with you here and for others who are listening and watching. It's a real honor for us to be here, to be part of the church, and that we can join from many places, many churches, many peoples represented. I've already been blessed and encouraged by our time this morning through the video, through our songs, through the prayers prayed, because the Lord's doing those things in our midst. In the midst here, the Holy Spirit's moving powerfully. I see that at each and every time that I come to this place, that God's moving in incredible ways. And so we're thankful to be a part of that work for a short season that we'll have here for our week and a half or so as a team, that we get to come and minister alongside you here in this place throughout the city of Taipei and the surrounding area, that God's been already gracious in our 4 days that we've had here. So we're grateful for the invitation to be here today and very thankful to be able to share this time of worship with you. So I would like to just myself just open us in prayer before we get moving. Father, we are thankful. We are grateful today, for we know that it is the kindness of a loving God that leads us to repentance. And God, we are grateful that you've made a way where there was no way for us. That in placing our faith in you, that Lord, you have redeemed, that you've rescued from the domain of darkness, that you brought us into the light, and in you there is no darkness at all. And we are grateful even today to reflect upon, to be reminded as we are walk as those empowered by your Spirit, that you didn't leave us to ourselves, that even in the departure of Christ in his ascension, that Lord, you gave us the Holy Spirit, the helper, the one who would come alongside. So might we be reminded today as walk those in empowered and emboldened by your Spirit, to walk in the ways of your truth, to wait eagerly upon you, that your name and your renown would be the desire of our souls. So I thank you for this time. I thank you for words that you put in my mind and my heart, Lord. And I pray that it would make sense to all who would hear, that we would walk away encouraged, exhorted towards godliness and righteousness. And so, Lord, we thank you today for our time that we've already had, for what's to come, that you are at work for your will and your good pleasure. All glory be to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, we're grateful to be here on this special Sunday with you. I'm grateful to be able to stand here because your pastor is away walking to the ends of the earth in a place like Mongolia. And I'm certainly sure it's probably more cold than it looked in that photo. Friends who lived in that place that they referred to as the Frozen Chosen. So I know that that's a place that comes at a cost in going, even probably some of their comforts. But I'm grateful even his absence today is because he's leading a team there and you're there as a church. So we are at what's called Pentecost Sunday. For some of you, maybe you're newer to church, maybe you might think, what is Pentecost? What does that look like? What is that about? And that is simply a Greek word, specifically meaning the 50th, and that came 50 days after Easter. And so that's what we mark today as Pentecost Sunday. It's become tradition in that, and it really marks the tradition of the marking of the church, of the early church as it came to be. That there was a visitation by the Holy Spirit at that time. It says, and actually, we're going to look at Acts 2 today, so you can go ahead and grab your Bibles. And while you're doing that, well, in Acts 2, that's the fifth book of the New Testament, so five books over. So you can find yourself there, but I'm going to reference us back to Acts 1, actually, because it noted that there were 120 disciples who were gathered at that time. And they gathered in the upper room there and on the mount. And this was a time, again, that there was historically, we see the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people and community, they were brought together for a Harvest Day celebration, and they were celebrating Passover. And so we see them come together at this time. And as we move through the morning here in the next few minutes, we're going to see, as we proceed through seeing his authority, his power, fully on display in all of his glory, to see his confirmation of his good plans, those will be strengthened, and to prove that we can trust in him and in his word. And we're going to see that from the perspective here of Luke as the author of Acts, recording what happened at the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit revealed power. So I'm going to go ahead and begin by reading Acts 2. Just the first portion there is what we're going to read, 1 through 13. So again, Acts 2, 1 through 13. says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mockingly said, they are filled with new wine. So we're seeing the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, come in a powerful way, represented in that moment, a transformative moment in the life of the church. And this was ushering in a completely new era of divine guidance in community, empowerment, and spiritual gifts for believers. As we were reminded just earlier in Mark's comment, just about us being filled with His Spirit. And we're going to see that several times here, specifically for those who were in that moment. Because this is a powerful promise that's coming into being, what again was known as Pentecost. So in Acts 2, 1 through 4, we're seeing here a specific powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the gathered believers in that place. This moment marked the fulfillment of Christ's promise and the birth of the church. Take note here, it's the Spirit's arrival emboldened the disciples to step into their mission. Understanding that this moment should encourage us to be ones who would embrace the Spirit's power in our lives and helping us to overcome our fears, to move forward with courage and purpose. That's what should be going on in our lives. For those of us in this room who have placed our faith in Jesus, we've been given the Holy Spirit to walk as emboldened ones, to walk without fear, to walk with courage, to walk in just complete faith in what He's doing. I feel all too often in our world today, myself included in this, as I do struggle with that timidity sometimes of engaging people, even in cross-cultural circumstances, sometimes all the more, because I walk maybe in a lot of ignorance and I want to learn and I want to grow and I want to share that truth with others. But I really have to lean into the Spirit to speak, because I don't know what to say sometimes in those moments. Just not even considering language, but sometimes it's like, how do we interact? Like, what's our next step of faith? And sometimes that step of faith is just that. We don't know what is coming, but we can lean in and trust in the Lord. So again, we can be encouraged to walk in a lot of those things with courage and in purpose. As we see there quickly in the text in Acts 2 as it opens, that we immediately read of the Holy Spirit's arrival. It's quick to it because it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. So the Holy Spirit came quickly. We can see this powerfully coming from heaven. And it says a sound like a mighty rushing wind. I think we've all heard wind. You see that here. We've had it a lot in the weather already, here and there, which brings some relief. But there was a sound like that, and it was something that filled them. And so that word is used a couple of times. We see that because it goes on to say, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire. We see that there again coming with that bit of imagery and how the fire would work. But really fire being that would parse itself out amongst those who would hear. So again, we see the wind filling the house, and we see that happened as with in the past when God filled the temple with His presence. So we're going to see a transition in that and the way that it works, because now not only once we see the temple being filled, but now believers being filled with His Spirit. And then the tongues portion, it says tongues as of fire appeared and rested on each person in that space. A few years ago, I was actually able to go to Israel and the place that they attribute to where they believe that happened. I was imagining sitting in that room. If you've walked in places that you've read about historically, it's pretty encouraging and pretty impressive to see those things. But to be in a place didn't take a lot of my imagination to sit there what it looked like for that room to be filled, and even pouring out probably outside of that. While they go with the 120 number, that there were likely those who poured out into the courtyard, and to imagine what it was like sitting in that room when it was filled with the Spirit moving into that place. So again, in the past, we see that in the tabernacle, also in Solomon's temple, and that's referenced in Old Testament in Exodus 40 and 2 Chronicles. But it's also mentioned forward-looking in the future, that in Ezekiel 43 and Haggai 2, that these passages prophesied of a literal future temple. And that was a foreshadowing, even of something better, something grander to come, a greater eternal reality. God's fiery presence no longer confide in a building, but in his people. Praise God for that, right? Yes. Praise God for that, that we are the recipients of that today. Then again, the world around us that walks in so much fear and worry and anxiety and the tensions of the world, that we can walk in freedom. Where the Spirit is the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen?
Amen.
So we see these things in the Old Testament. So I'm just going to read a couple of passages. Ezekiel 36, 26 and through 27 says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And then on Joel 2, 28 and 29, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all my people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So that's pointing forward as to what was going to happen. We see Israel in that time was to be reunified with the coming king, with the messianic king, and that's pointed out in Isaiah 11 and Ezekiel 37. Because again, the new temple is to be Jesus' new covenant family. And that's us today in this room, family. For those who have placed their faith in him as Savior and Lord, that is us today. Because in that prophecy, when God came to dwell in his new temple, he would be the one reunifying all the tribes under the messianic king, the Messiah, the one who came to save. So we'll switch back to the New Testament now. And again, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as it gave them utterance. Where a moment like this, it might have once felt very chaotic, because we can look back again very quickly to what happened at the Tower of Babel, right? The instruction was given to go and to scatter. And what did they do? They came together, wanted to make a kingdom for themselves. And to me, the comedy of imagining building this Tower of Babel towards the sky. And I have my days, as a side note, when I studied Mandarin for a couple of years, I myself kind of wanted to curse the Tower of Babel simply because of the difficulties that come with language. But I've learned to turn that around and to see the beauty of God's people and the unifying force that brought about. But he was going to be the one to restore and to redeem. So in that moment, we see that there's unity amongst the people. They couldn't understand each other, right? One moment, and the next moment, they're looking around. And they're thinking, how in the world can I understand what the people around me are saying? But specifically, it says the Spirit gave them utterance. So they were there, and it says in verse 5, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men, every nation, and under heaven. And it's talking about moving forward, what that looks like. And again, it says the word bewildered. I think to me, another word for that would be confusion. But again, it's the confusion of all of a sudden that you understand everybody in a room. If somebody came in right now and we're speaking in, I don't know how many countries we have in here by guess. I don't know, 10 countries or 12 countries. What it might be like for us to be in the room and go, well, I understand everything. I'm speaking and I'm understanding. And somebody coming in going, what in the world is going on in here? But at the same time, there was a unity that God brought in that moment, because it was not about confusion, because they all knew they were from various peoples and languages, but yet they could understand one another. Oh, Lord, how could that be except that he gave that? The Spirit gave utterance and ability to understand. Such a powerful demonstration of a Spirit, right? Because I'm assuming that everybody in this room, unlike, I don't want to speak for all of us Americans that are here, but I know as a people, we're pretty monolingual. We struggle to learn other languages sometimes, but I know a lot of you in the room speak multiple. But I'm always amazed at what God does to work in the hearts of his people to speak. And so in this moment, even more so for everyone to understand the other. So we have the promise of the Spirit. So we're seeing after God had poured out his Holy Spirit in that moment in the Jerusalem church, on the first Pentecost after Christ's resurrection. Again, that 50 days, that Pentecost. So again, it marks an important day in the life of believers for us to be here in this room today to celebrate that. And particularly for me, it's the mark of the church and what has happened. Because we're seeing that if we kind of fast forward to the latter part of chapter 2. I think we're all probably familiar with this, but I want to go ahead and read it aloud. It's talking about the church, and it talks about them being those who are devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and their prayers. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So again, we see that promise being fulfilled, and we're seeing the outpouring, the quick movement of the Lord to establish his church there. And I'm always amazed just though the direction had been given to those who would hear that Jesus was saying, I will send my Holy Spirit, that they were waiting expectantly. And he even gave direction in that to those who were around him, that we see with Jesus ascending into heaven, that he said that will be a coming time for the Holy Spirit. And he knew that his departure was imminent and that it would be for their good. It would mean the Holy Spirit's coming. So in John 14:26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I've said to you. Well, family, I'd say today I need those reminders regularly. Every single day, I need to be reminded of that. And the Spirit is always faithful to quicken our spirits, to remind us of who he is and what he's done. And Jesus said in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Such a loving Father and King to send in Jesus, the one who lived a perfect life, lived through that, the death, the burial, the resurrection, that we can have life in eternity. But he left the Holy Spirit, again, the one who would come alongside us to empower us so we could walk in boldness and with courage. So we also see, if we move through Acts 2 to verses 5 through 12, there was really, in that moment, a diverse audience gathered in Jerusalem. We see the miraculous ability of the believers to speak the various languages, this signifying the Holy Spirit's role in breaking down barriers and, again, uniting peoples from every nation. So didn't take me a second to realize your church is named in that regard, of every nation. And, again, such a blessing that you both have such a passionate heart, because I know we're involved in the community. So it really is, and we operate much like this as at our church as well, sort of the languages is neighborhood to nation, because we have a heart for those around us, but also to the ends of the earth. So with this, again, uniting people from every nation, we see this as highlighting the inclusivity of God's kingdom and the Spirit's power in building a diverse community. So this can point us to pursue unity and diversity, becoming agents of grace, those who desire to see our own communities transformed. We would be those agents of grace for the glory of God. And you've been placed where you have today, and I want to encourage you in that, because in the things that the Lord is doing, even highlighting by Acts 2:11, that says, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. His name and works were being proclaimed in that day to his glory. So moving on in Acts 2, I also just want to point out the fact that in 2:5, which we read, it says that there were those in the room, devout men from every nation under heaven. And so it's not a random assortment of non-believing people, but there are those who believe were in that room. And I can't imagine that they're elbowing each other and saying, how in the world do we understand one another? But this is something must be the work of the Lord. And so we see in that again, the gathering of the peoples once again scattered, but they've come back together in a single moment, gathered with a single purpose, awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. So God was going to do what he was going to do, and that he was going to build his church, and that he was going to leave the Holy Spirit for us. Again, marking a key event in the history and the life of a believer. And this needed to happen before Christ returned, because Jesus said it was going to happen, that he was going to send us the Holy Spirit, and that we would walk in light of that. So looking back, we can look in Acts 1 again, seeing where that's highlighted, in particular, the ways that we would walk as those who would receive the power from the Holy Spirit. And again, we see the gathering of that in Acts 2, verses 8 through 12. Again, Jews that were gathered from all nations would not have spoken the same language. People were local to Jerusalem and then from many different places. And again, those people were joining, speaking in that way, but it would have been a confusing thing from those on the outside that even in verse 13 says that people thought they were drunk, but it was only 9 a.m. And so it's kind of one of those moments of, well, yeah, there's something else going on here besides that. But again, how that was a confusing thing for those around. So we see the fulfillment of these things and the prophecy that was given and prophecy fulfilled. I think we always need to be encouraged for that. I think sometimes I find myself when I'm trying to read and plow through the Old Testament a little bit, and someone can get bogged down in some areas that are maybe more challenging to understand, or just seeing how that connects in specifically in the prophecies of the things that were to come. And this is so clear to us, and we ought to be reminded how that was something foretold of all that would come. And again, this is God showing his power, fulfilling this in his own authority, how he was demonstrating that power and display that, again, good plans for his people. It proves that we can trust him. Proves that we can know him, that he is who he says that he is, that he's an unchanging God. Again, the establishment of the new temple and his people, that being us, that the church operates as that, right? The church is his primary tool for reaching the nations. And how are others to know of him? They can know of that because of our love for one another, right? We can see that in the way that we live our lives, whether we're single, if you're married, if you have a family, but the way that you're living, God has placed you where he has for a purpose in this season. He tells us he's marked out our boundaries. So for each one of you, maybe this is home for you in the sense that you were born here and you live here. Others of you came from maybe nearby from other countries, and then a good portion of us from other places. But God has marked out our boundaries for a time and a purpose for his plan. And we see that displayed. Acts 1:8 is a common verse for that. And I think as a missions pastor, I know this because it's easy to fit that in our vision, but more so that really is our vision. It's not we're fitting into anything, but it's really a part of his plan. And it says that in Acts 1:8. And it says there that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So again, earlier I mentioned kind of that umbrella of neighborhood to nations, how we're engaging both those that in your workplace, if you're maybe not working, or maybe you're a full-time mom at home, or we all have our rhythms and patterns, right? Probably all of us in this room, you've got your coffee shop, your tea shop, the places that you can go day by day to walk in light of the Lord to get to know people. And those are things that we can walk in light of knowing that we've been empowered by his Spirit. And so sometimes that's nearby and sometimes that's far away. And again, represented in the church today, because many of you are in this room at other Every Nation churches in Mongolia. We see that already just by testimony today, but also all the places that were highlighted in the video. And so those are the places that we are to be as his people. So again, this is the invitation to us to come and live under his rule and reign, an invitation to repentance, to baptism, and a formation of Spirit-filled communities. So the Holy Spirit's coming with the sound of a rushing wind and like tongues of fire, clearly demonstrating his authority and his power. So in all of these things, we recognize the work of the Holy Spirit and to rely upon the Holy Spirit. That we ought to do that in a way that we're relying on him for our presence, his presence in our life each and every day, no matter where we find ourselves. Helping us to overcome fears, to overcome the concerns of our lives, be it health situations, be it family relationships, be it work relationships in the community, inside the church, outside the church. These are the places that we have to live for the Lord and his glory. And just the passage for me, it's reminded each morning of his mercies are new each day. And we need to be reminded of that, because even the breath we breathe right now is his mercy on our lives. And we know that his grace is sufficient. By testimony, I lived a few years ago now, 20 years ago or so, that I lived in China, on the mainland of China for 2 years. And I really found in the circumstances in those days, as you can imagine, you're visibly seeing me right now, I don't exactly fit in amongst Chinese people in the way that I look, nor the way that I speak, but the Lord is faithful, right? He put it upon my heart to go. I didn't know exactly what that was gonna look like as a kid from in the state of Texas. It's a huge state, but I'm from a very small town. And my mom regularly still reminds me, she was like, Jamie, never would I thought the places that God would take you physically, the places that I get to go. And to live in that day, I think we have here on a slide a picture. If it's not there, I'll just explain what it looks like. But I have a picture in my office just of some open hands, so palms up. So this is framed on my office. I'm pretty visual in nature, and I said I'm reminded of his mercies each day, but as I'm standing at my desk, sitting at my desk, I need to be reminded of this visual, because in my heart and my mind, that is my posture. As much as I can open my hands, I want to do that, because I recognize and I know who I am, right? We know ourselves best. We know who we are, how God's designed us, and I need to be reminded as I do this in an act of surrender, really more of that is I've also been filled with your Spirit. So surrender to God, but Lord, fill me up. And I need to see that day by day. I need to be reminded of that. Really what's become a life verse for me, I'm gonna read to you in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5. It says, such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we're competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, for our competence comes from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So in this, we can quickly see that we're to have confidence in God, that anything that we have is what he's given us. That as we pour out, we just say, God, might I be yours, that he would fill us up with a divine competence found in him, that our sufficiency is from him, that he is the Lord and there is none other. And in that saying, I have nothing to offer, he is the one that's fully able. And the reason why I mentioned China is I remember my second or third day there, my roommate was still coming to China. I was serving with an organization. He wasn't there yet. I had some friends who had very graciously brought some stuff into my apartment, and I was sitting at this little table. I feel actually taller today than I ever do, so this is great, but kind of short stature. And I remember sitting at this little table, and I was just eating some toast and drinking some tea. And in that moment, I was praying, and I just thought to myself, what did I just do? I mean, I just stepped on this plane. It was a 36-hour trip, 4 flights, and each flight dwindled more and more. By the last flight, yes, I was the only white face on the airplane. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, Lord, what do I have to offer? And I was just thinking very practically. It was a really good moment for me, because I think the humility piece of this really built in to be reminded of who I am in him, that he's alive and well within me, because he said, you're absolutely right. You have nothing of yourself to offer. But in me, you have all things to offer. And you're gonna learn language, but I don't need your language. You just walk in light of me. Again, with those palms up, what would you have of me today? I wanna walk fully sufficiently in you, that you would fill me with your Spirit, that your Spirit is within me, and I can walk in light of that. So again, being reminded of his empowering presence in our lives, that's what happened to me that morning, that day, given the opportunity to overcome so much in those days, in the things that I saw and I faced. But it was really a proving ground to build my character in him. Again, not about me, but what the Holy Spirit was doing in and through me. So that's a reminder to us today that you are friends of mine, you are brothers and sisters of mine, that we can walk in light of him. Walk by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and that we can lean into him. So again, as we looked at the Old Testament days, again, prophesied, we saw it was to come to be, the Holy Spirit came, that we can walk by his Spirit, that we are established, we are rooted and grounded in him, that we can walk in the light of his truth today. So wherever you are today, kind of in a reflective moment, just want you to reflect upon that. Where are you in light of trusting the Spirit today in your own life? Are you walking empowered by his power? Are you walking in that empowerment of the Spirit? Or is there a bit of timidity? Is there a bit of fear? Is there a bit of worry in the unknown today? Is that something you need to give back to him? It is something you need to give back to him. But at the same time, that the Lord would speak to you in that. And are there just ways you could walk in a new boldness? New boldness as you walk out of this place today is the conversation you ought to have with someone else as you go. Maybe someone on your mind or heart. Maybe it's the person along the way that you meet where you just need to step forward in faith. So how is the Lord speaking to you? Where can you walk more bold by His Spirit today? And being reminded the Holy Spirit is an active personal presence in the lives of believers, driving all towards a deeper relationship with Christ and a more impactful ministry in each of your lives. And pray for us. Father, again, we are thankful today as a grateful people
And Lord, I just come before you praying with my brothers and sisters here in this room. Lord, fill us up. And Lord, we would walk in your ways, walk to the things of you, not by the ways of the world, but Lord, walk empowered by your Spirit. That you are kind, that you are loving, that you are generous and gracious. May our palms be up to you, Lord, saying today, yes, Lord, yes. We want to be obedient. We want to trust in you. On this specific Sunday that marks for the beginning of the church, we are grateful in this room today. We are your church. We are your people. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for your excellencies. You are worthy of our praise, Lord. Our glory be to you, O King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be exalted today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.